Romans chapter 1, verse 18, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools, and changed the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. Wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshipped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forevermore. Amen. For this cause God gave them up unto vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burned in their lusts one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whispers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, please, we would ask, Lord, that you would help us as we take a look at the Word of God, as we find it in Romans chapter 1, and as it pertains to the theory of evolution and what is being presented, Lord, to our young people in the public school system and the universities of our land. I pray, Lord, that we would be strengthened in our faith, Lord, that you would help us to be in all matters believers of the Word of God, above anything and everything. And we would pray, Lord, that you'd help us to have also, dear Lord, those of us already convinced, to be better equipped to give an answer of the faith that is in us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. If you will dig out a pen, and you're not you're okay with writing alongside some of the verses in your Bible, I'm going to give you something that I think if you'll write down throughout from Romans chapter number 1, verse 21 on down, I think it will help you in understanding and seeing the progression that is outlined in these verses. In verse number 21, beside verse number 21, you could write the word atheism. We already covered that subject, one of the 40 subjects, the second one that we covered, atheism. Because that when they knew God, they glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish hearts was darkened. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. And remember what we said two times in the book of the Psalms. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so 21 and 22, you could write the word atheism right there somewhere. In verse 23, you can write the word evolution. Evolution. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God into an image like to corruptible man, and to birds, and four-footed beasts, and creeping things. If you become an atheist, what that is going to necessitate is that you have to come up with some other reason why we're here. If you're going to reject the Bible and the Genesis account, then there has to be some explanation of why we're here. And so that, of course, is a progression of them glorifying not God, not being thankful, becoming vain in their imaginations, having a darkening of their hearts, professing themselves to be wise and becoming fools. They have to come up with an alternative explanation rather than just by faith opening it up, Genesis chapter 1, and reading it and saying, you know what, I believe God, I believe His Word, that's where we came from. And so if you eliminate your belief in God, you have to come up with another theory. Verse 24, wherefore God also gave them up to uncleanness through the lust of their own hearts. Right beside verse 24, immorality. Immorality. To dishonor their own bodies between themselves. Verse 24, immorality. All right, so we have atheism that introduces the concept of evolution that produces immorality. Beside verse number 25, write the word humanism. Humanism. Who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served. Boy, by the way, very interesting. We'll get into this 2 weeks from tonight when we teach on the subject of humanism. We'll get into this idea of the purposes. Once you read Humanist Manifesto 1, Humanist Manifesto 2, you'll understand that that little phrase there, and serve the creature more than the creator, their entire purpose is revolved around us serving ourselves, us serving man. Sounds very noble, but notice what the Bible says. Excuse me, watch this. You weren't put here to serve men. You were put here to serve God. Now, you can, by serving God, be a blessing to men, but we do not serve men, we serve God. Okay, so humanism, verse 25. Verse 26 and 27, write this beside it, homosexuality. So atheism produces an alternative theory, evolution. Once evolution has been taught, morality goes out the window. We're animals, let's act like it. Then a religion is produced, humanism, and humanism is a religion. It absolutely is a religion. Look it up. Definition. By definition, it's a religion. From that comes homosexuality. God gives them over to perverseness. And then, verse 28 through 31, that little stretch of sins listed there, you can write reprobate behavior. Okay, after someone gives themselves over to homosexuality, all behavior becomes reprobate. And these things become a norm in society, and they are a norm in society today. So we have atheism, evolution, immorality, humanism, homosexuality, reprobate behavior. But verse number 32, we can't leave this word out. Right beside that verse, judgment. Judgment. Who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. And so God's judgment steps in at some point. There's never been a society that's decided to follow the path of Romans chapter 1, the path of unbelief that didn't eventually receive and become the recipients of the judgment of God. America is, I believe, in God's crosshairs. I think that if we do not turn back and repent soon, we already are being judged, but I think that we're going to be judged in ways we can't even imagine. Now, I want to take you back to verse number 21 when we taught on atheism. I just want to give you this, and again, boy, it's quick, and I want to get to the subject of tonight. But I believe the entire progression to becoming an atheist is captured in two verses here, verse 21 and verse 22. I think you not only are having atheists identified here, I think you see the progression of becoming one. I'm only saying this because I think our young people need to hear it, and I think we all need to be warned about this. You see, five things happen in these two verses. Let me read them to you. Number one, a refusal to glorify God as God. They glorified Him not as God. What do you mean, as God? Well, some people want to glorify God, but they want to create their own God. It's not enough for us to glorify God. We need to glorify the God of the Bible. Okay, you can't create your own God and say, well, now I'm a believer in God. Your God is the God of the Bible, or it's a false God. I don't care if you call Him by the same name. People have created God in their image instead of realizing God created us in our image. They've decided to define God the way they want to define Him, and then they'll worship that God. But if it's not the God of the Bible, you're not worshiping the true and living God. And so God is defined to us through His Word, a refusal to glorify God as God. Number two, a spirit of unthankfulness. A spirit of unthankfulness. Now, there's five steps here to becoming an atheist. Some of our young people have already taken the first two. I'm talking about not kids that are gone, kids that are sitting in this room. Okay? You do not glorify God as God. You will not allow God to be God. You don't like the God that's defined by this book. You want to create your own little idea of God and then walk around and leave the will of God and turn your back on the Word of God, but tell everybody, well, I love God. I believe in God. I worship God. And not only that, but let me say this. One of the greatest tragedies that you can allow to happen in your life is to develop a spirit of unthankfulness. You are two steps of five from becoming an unbeliever. Okay? It really worries me when I watch a young person. I mean, I think, you know what? Children are, I know children have to be taught to say thank you and all this, but you know what? Little children, there's almost within them a desire to express thankfulness when you want to. You know, the devil has to kind of just beat that out of you. Or you got to hang around a bunch of reprobates that decide being thankful is not cool. And, you know, a kid that's actually thankful to their parents, they talk him down or shout him down or whatever. And you lose a spirit of thankfulness. You know what you want to become? Watch this. You become a griper and a complainer and a whiner about everything. No matter what's been done for you, it's not good enough. And you've never... Listen, come on. Let's just get down to it. When was the last time you went to mom and said thank you for anything? And yet at the same time, you grumble and mumble and complain and whine about every little thing. When's the last time your dad is out there working 40, 50, 60 hours a week? And you take and take and take and then whine and gripe. And listen to me. Too many Blessed Hope Baptist Church members come in here and you receive blessings every week and you never say thank you to anybody. You've lost your thankful spirit. You'll come in and gripe and whine and criticize, but you won't be thankful. I'm telling you, if we lose these things, the willingness without shame to stand before whoever is there and glorify God as God, God deserves glory. God deserves praise. And you know what? He deserves thankfulness too. He deserves a child that has a thankful heart. But when somebody refuses to glorify God as God and becomes unthankful for what He's provided for us, then you've got to see the next step, a reliance on human reasoning. Watch this. They glorified Him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations. If you look up that word imaginations, it talks about reasoning. You see, folks, listen to me. I will announce this from the very beginning here so that you understand. Christianity is a religion based on faith. The Bible says, for without faith it's impossible to please God. Okay? If you say, if I can't arrive at the same conclusion you have, preacher, through human reasoning, then I'm not going to agree with you, then you're not going to agree with me. You're not going to agree with this book. God does not argue. I mentioned this a week ago. God does not spend three chapters at the beginning of Genesis arguing His existence with man. He just announces it. In the beginning, God. Believe it or don't believe it. Accept it or don't accept it. Accept it. If you're going to accept it, you're going to accept it by faith. Okay? And He says it's impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. For he that believeth in God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You must choose to believe by faith. And so, but you get into this, okay? I won't glorify God as God. I'm going to be unthankful. And by the way, if I cannot touch it, see it, smell it, or prove it in a scientific laboratory, then I'm not going to believe it, because I am only going to limit what I believe to human reasoning. Then you're walking down the path of unbelief. You're walking down a dangerous path, okay? Let's go on. Here's the next step, opening their hearts to satanic influence. Now notice what happens. This next phrase is, if you study the Greek, this next phrase is bone-chilling. And their foolish heart was darkened. I'm going to tell you, you ought to do a little word study on that. What happens? I know God is God. I know it because He created within me an understanding of that He exists. I know because of all creation that speaks of Him and witnesses of Him. But I will not glorify God as God. I will not be thankful. If I can't reason it, then I'm not going to believe it. And when you get to this point, the Bible says, and their foolish heart was darkened. They didn't darken it. What they did was they opened a satanic door. It literally means, if you do a word study on this, darkness infiltrates their foolish heart. Okay, darkness infiltrates their foolish heart. I don't know about you, but that, all right. Number five, here's the last step. a public declaration of their disbelief in God. Professing themselves to be wise, they become fools. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And so there's a progression here. Listen, glorify God as God. Glorify God as the God of the Bible. Don't apologize for any part of who He is, what He is. Don't try to recreate Him or change Him. Believe what the Bible says about Him and worship that God as the true and living God. Always cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. It's very, very important. It will protect you more from darkness than probably any other thing I could give you. You ought to cultivate a spirit of thankfulness. You know what? Don't get caught up in intellectualism. Okay, well, I'm going to get on the internet and I'm not going to use the Bible. I'm just going to argue with these people and rationalize. And no, you know what? I'm not interested in wasting my time. You know what? If you believe in God, you're going to believe by faith. Okay, by the way, if you believe in evolution, you're going to believe by faith. Yes, you are. Yes, you are. Yeah, of course you are. And we'll get to that in a little bit. But don't criticize me for exercising faith. You have to exercise a lot of faith too if you believe in what you do. I just put my faith in the Word of God, and you put your faith into a lot of assumptions. Okay, so human reasoning, a reliance on human reasoning, opening their hearts to satanic influence, dangerous, public declaration or disbelief of God. A lot of people have come down this road. They at one time had light. They one time were exposed to truth. They refuse to glorify God as God. They become unthankful for all that He has done. They begin into this intellectualism, human reasoning. And then next thing you know, they've opened their heart to satanic influence. And pretty soon they're walking around professing themselves to be wise. You know, we're the smart ones. We're the intellectuals. You poor dumb Christians. And by God says, I pronounce them as fools. Now, if you're going to become an atheist, two voices have to be silenced. We've seen that verse number 19, verse number 20. Two voices have to be silenced. Number one, the inward voice manifests in each man. That's verse 19. Because that which may be known of God is manifest in them. You were made in the image of God. I mentioned this last week, but I believe this. I think Jeremiah chapter 1 teaches it, that every human is formed in their mother's womb by the very hands of God. I think there's a part of us that remember the touch of God's hand. I think that there's a part of us that know that we're made in the image of God. And so that is manifest, created in us, the belief, the knowledge that God exists. So you have to quiet that voice. How do you quiet it? You go through the process I just mentioned in verse number 21 and 22. You do it in five steps. You turn off that voice. Okay? But there's another voice that you're going to have a problem with if you're going to be an atheist or an unbeliever. That's the outward voice of all creation. Verse number 20, the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. The invisible things of Him, speaking of God, things you can't see, like God's existence, you can't see the invisible creation, but the invisible things of Him from the creation of the world are clearly seen. And so anyone who takes an honest look at creation can see intelligent design, can see that this didn't just happen. The Bible says the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth forth His handiwork. His fingerprints are on everything. Being understood by the things that are made, things that are created, even His eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Somebody says, I don't believe in God. Well, you're without excuse. Because down deep, God manifests His presence in you, and you had to go through a process of turning off five switches before you quieted that voice. But there's a louder voice that's hard to quiet, and that's all of creation. So, if you're going to be an unbeliever, you've got to work hard to quiet that voice. That's why the thing that follows atheism is, verse 28, evolution. Because if you're going to maintain your stance as an atheist, you have to be able to explain away creation. Okay, because creation declares the existence of God. If we were to have a trial, I've said this before, and we were to call our first witness, and you said, well, you need to prove that there's a God. Well, first of all, like I said, we don't do that. But if we did do that, the first witness would be creation, because creation speaks to the existence of God. Okay, are you following me so far? All right, come on, you're going to have your thinking caps on tonight, all right? This isn't milk, this is meat, and so you're going to have to engage, all right? Now, Evolution is man's attempt to silence the testimony of all creation from declaring the existence of a creator. Okay, so if you're given to unbelief, you have quieted through unbelief and a refusal to glorify God and unthankfulness and a worshiping of human reasoning and a touch of satanic influence and the pride of a public declaration that there's no God. So you've tried to turn off that inward voice. The only problem is there's an outward voice that's loud. It's all creation declaring the existence of a creator. Atheist's biggest enemy is creation. Nothing declares more vividly the presence of a creator than his creation. So now atheists have to roll up their sleeves and say, listen, the only way we're going to be able to quiet this belief in God thing is we've got to explain this some other way. And so folks, evolution would have never come about had it not been for the fact that men have turned to unbelief. And so out of desperation of their unbelief, they have to come up with something besides Genesis chapter number 1. Some other way that we got here. They have to erase the creator of Genesis 1. They have to erase the miracles of Genesis chapter 1. They have to erase the timeline of Genesis chapter 1. And so evolution is an attempt to silence the testimony of all creation from declaring the existence of a creator. Now, how do they do this? All right, verse 22. Let's look back at verse 22. Several things that evolutionists do. Number one, evolutionists, first of all, must position themselves as intellectuals. Evolutionists, first of all, must position themselves as intellectuals. Verse 22, professing themselves to be wise. Isn't that convenient? Okay, who can vouch for you being an intellect? Well, I'll vouch for myself. I am an intellect. I just professed it. I just announced it. I'm smarter than you. Okay, so they've professed themselves to be wise. Now watch this, folks. Watch this, young people. You see, atheists have rushed to our houses of higher learning. They want to position themselves as being intellectuals. They want to put themselves into the group that is considered the smart ones, the bright ones, the geniuses, the studied ones. They want to position Bible believers as ignorant. So they profess themselves to be wise, profess those that don't agree with them to be foolish. And yet the Bible says that while they profess themselves to be wise, they become even more foolish. Okay, so first of all, evolutionists, first of all, must position themselves as intellectuals. That's why they don't want you to bring the Bible to the discussion. They don't want you to bring faith to the discussion. They want human reasoning. They want logic. They want laboratories. They want what they call proof. By the way, that's good. For what they're going to need to prove, I'll go to that. I'm not leaving the faith, but good luck with that. Because if you're going to hold me to that, I'm going to hold you to that. Okay? But they position themselves as intellectuals. Number two, verse 23, evolutionists must destroy the notion of an uncorruptible, that means an unchanging or an immortal God. Verse 23. And change the glory of the uncorruptible God. They've got to change the glory of the uncorruptible God. They've got to destroy the notion of an uncorruptible God. And so one of the first things they do is present themselves as intellectuals. The next thing they do is they attack your belief in God. Now, I'm going to tell you by testimony, and this is not broad brushed. You talk to anybody that's been in the classes. You send your kids into the state universities, and they go in there to biology class professing themselves to be Bible-believing Christians, and they will be ridiculed, and they will be mocked at, and they will be run down, and they will be laughed at. So why? Because they're trying to destroy the notion of an uncorruptible God. That's why there is a campaign. Remember the ultimate arrival, this list of reprobate behavior. Haters of God. They hate the notion of a God. They hate the idea of a God. So they're going to spend their life trying to destroy that idea. That's why in the 1960s, it came out. Folks, listen, this came out of the universities. God is dead. God is, that came out of the universities. Why? They're trying to destroy the notion of an uncorruptible God. Number three, evolutionists then must replace the notion of a self-existing, self-created, corruptible, they must replace that notion, then, I'm sorry, let me start over. Evolutionists then must replace the notion of an uncorruptible God with the notion of a self-existing, self-created, corruptible creation. And so they fight against the idea that God had anything to do with it or that he even exists. And they say instead that we must believe in a self-existing, self-created, corruptible creation, a changing or mortal creation. Nothing about it is unchanging. Nothing about it is immortal. Nothing about it has anything to do with God. Number four, evolutionists then must change the truth of God into a lie and sell their lie as the truth. Verse number 25, who changed the truth of God into a lie. And so they must now change the truth of God into a lie and sell their lie as truth. So every facet of the creation story is attacked. Every facet. I'm going to get into some of these things a little more deeply in a few minutes. Be patient. Every facet of the creation story is attacked. Every facet of the creation story is there's an attempt to make to disprove it. In the beginning, God. Let's start with that. Let's attack the notion of God. Created. Let's attack that. And so every notion of it, the timeline of it, the length of time that it took, the age of the earth, according to the chronology of the Bible, everything about it is going to be attacked, okay? Number five, this selling of their lies becomes a new anti-God religion known as humanism. We're going to talk about humanism next week. This new religion, humanism, number six, causes them to worship man instead of God, and this new religion, humanism, causes them to serve man instead of God. We'll talk about those things next week. But it's a national progression. Atheism, in order to maintain my position as an atheist or an unbeliever, I have to give myself to something that explains away creation. And so I become an evolutionist. From evolution flows a new religion, humanism. We'll pick up there on that next week. Evolutionists declare the truths of God and his creation to be lies. Then they offer substitute intellectual truths in their place. Now, let me see if I can give you some things because I want to help you tonight. I want to kind of break down the belief system of the evolutionists and compare it to what the Bible says. Remember, they have to destroy the account of creation in order for us to be in a position to accept what they believe. So there are certain things that atheists and evolutionists then teach. Number one, we're going to go through this. We're getting into the actual outline now. My other previous two outlines were just preliminary outlines getting to the main outline. All right. If you're trying to take notes, give it up. Just buy the tape. Amen. All right. First of all, evolutionists, what do? Number one, they declare the existence of the Creator a lie and instead substitute the theory of evolution. Now remember, here's the truth. We're going to declare the truth a lie. And then we're going to substitute for that truth a lie and tell you that that is the truth. All right, did you just get that? If you did, explain it to me because I'm not sure I just understood what I said, all right? Who changed the truth of God into a lie? Here's the truth of the Word of God. Now what I'm going to do is I'm going to attack that truth and tell you that it's a lie. And then I'm going to give you a lie and tell you that that's the truth. Now, what do? First of all, they declare the existence of the Creator a lie and instead substitute the theory of evolution. They do not believe in a Creator. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Boom, there it is. All right? The evolutionists say there is no God. We are here as a result of an evolutionary process. And so they substitute the idea of a 6,000-year-old earth in a creation process that took six 24-hour days, and they then are going to come up with an alternative theory. They reject the idea of a creator, that God stepped out onto the platform of nothingness and spoke, and everything that we now see was brought into life. Number two, they declare the biblical timeline of creation a lie. and substitute millions and even billions of years. Now, what does the Bible say? And God saw that everything that he had made, and behold, it was very good, and the evening and the morning was the sixth day. Thus the heavens and the earth were finished, all the host of them. Later on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all work which he had made, evening and the morning. So we're not talking about 6 billion year or million year, multi-million year time periods. We're talking about 6 days. Preacher, you're not sitting up there, please, telling me, do you think everything that we see today was simply spoken out of nothingness by somebody you call God and was done so in 6 24-hour days? That's exactly what I'm saying, I believe. I don't apologize for it. Now let me see if I can help you Christians that say, well, I believe in God and I believe in evolution. I'm just a theistic evolution. No, you're a compromiser is what you are. You see, you've been put, pressure's been put on you by the, you don't want to appear unintellectual, is that a word? Amen. All right, unintellectual, like I am right now. you don't. Let me help you. You don't want to appear stupid, all right? You don't want to appear dumb. You know, Professor so-and-so walks out like this and begins to look down his nose at you and talk about all these things. So you decide, well, you know what? I don't want to appear like just a dumb Bible believer. So I guess I'll just say, no, you know what? Listen to me, why don't you just believe the Bible? Say, preacher, wait a minute, there's all this science. You better do your research. You better do your study. See, I've read probably in the last 3 weeks 40 different, I've read 40 hours worth in the last, probably 6 weeks. I've read probably 40 hours worth of nothing but supposed science that is to support this. And folks, it takes more faith. I'm not just saying this. It's not a cliche. I promise you it's true. It would take more faith for me to believe in the theory of evolution than it does just to open the Bible and believe what the Bible says. Okay? So they declare the biblical timeline of creation a lie. Well, preacher, you know what? The Grand Canyon, haven't you ever visited there? Yeah, I have. Well, haven't you had the little tourists tell you how, the tour guides tell you how many billions of years it would have took for a little trickle of water to come and wear away the rock and create it? Or God could have just said, canyon. Canyon. Boom. Rocky Mountains. Boom. Okay, Gulf of Mexico. Boom. Jasonville. Oh, no, what did I do? And sorry, I'm a resident of this fine city, you know. Amen. So, yeah. And you know what? I believe this. Let me just kind of give you this thought because it'll help some of you. I believe if somebody wants to be an unbeliever, God's given them enough rope to hang themselves. God created the earth, and I believe this. I believe God created the earth, a mature earth. Okay, what does that mean? That means when God created the heavens, the earth. Everything that he created in adult, mature status. Okay, the Bible says that. He didn't make Adam and Eve, and they were two little babies that were laying there playing. You know, brand new newborns. They were adults. When he created adult trees. I've said this. I don't know if it's true or not. You know, the question is, did Adam have a belly button? I don't know. But I guess I'll ask him one of these days when he gets to heaven. You know, by the time I get to him with that question, he's going to just say, don't! Bunch of stupid people. You wait all of this time to finally see me, and you got the same, every one of you got the same stupid question. I think if you'd have taken a chainsaw, if you'd have had one in the Garden of Eden and cut it down, would there have been rings? I don't know. All I know is this, if you want to be an unbeliever, God's giving you enough rope to hang yourself. And God created a mature earth. And so God could have created a world that is, and he did create a world that was a mature world. All right? And I believe it, that young people, listen, don't apologize for everything. This millions and billions of years. Remember when we went to the Blue River Canyons? Some of you guys were in that boat with, and this poor tour guide is down there taking our Christian school kids. And he's saying millions and millions of years ago and millions of years ago. And pretty soon as he started to say it, all of our kids are going, millions and millions of years ago. And you know, you say, preacher at Blessed Baptist Church, you don't teach evolution. No, we teach. Actually, that's not true. We absolutely do. We teach scientific creationism, and in that course, evolution is exposed for what it is, a lie. And so, we teach it. We just don't teach it as truth because it's not. All right? Declaration of biblical timeline of creation, they say that's a lie. We're going to substitute millions and billions of years. What I want to say about that is how convenient. How very, very convenient to be able to have such a broad canvas. To be able to say, well, anything that we can't explain, you understand we're talking about millions and billions and millions and billions and millions, and how convenient. What happened to science? What happened to science? What happened to proof? What's happening if I can't prove it in a laboratory, see it, smell it, taste it, I'm not going to believe it? What happened to that? Okay. Evolutionists say the process of evolution of the world began 3.5 billion years ago and continues to this day. That's what they claim, 3.5 billion years. That's what they say the age of the world is. I tell them it's 6,000 years because the Bible teaches that. Number three, they declare, by the way, theistic evolution. I want to help you here because some of you are mad at me and you'll get over it in a second here. But you know what? Compromise never does anything. You can't compromise the truth. If you'll compromise one tenet, you'll compromise the next one, you'll compromise the next one, you'll compromise the next one. Believe the Bible. We are Bible-believing Christians. So we just believe the Word of God. Okay, number three, they declare the biblical age of the world a lie and again substitute multi-billion year guess. The Bible timeline teaches us that we have a 6,000 year old earth. The evolutionists scoff and claim that it's 3.5 billion. The Bible teaches us it was created in 6 24-hour periods. Again, they use the words millions and billions. Number four, they declare the biblical method of creation a lie and substitute the Big Bang theory. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. And we could go through every element. And you know what is the method of creation according to Genesis? God speaks things into existence. God creates from nothingness something. You know why he's able to do that? God. He's God. Okay? Well, they are not satisfied with that. A God that is powerful enough to speak this entire world into existence might have to be reckoned with one day. So we don't want to believe that that's who did this. And so they substitute theories like the Big Bang Theory. I said this morning in my sermon, I went to research just to, you know, reread about it. I've read up on it. I pretty much had a grip on it, but I wanted to read up on it again, and I typed in Big Bang Theory, and apparently that's a TV program now, and I was so confused. I had no idea what I was doing. Finally, I put Evolution, Big Bang Theory, and I actually was able to find the material that I wanted. The Big Bang Theory is just that the notion that when you eventually take them back to the beginning, because the Bible says in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth, they don't want to be pinned down to a beginning point. And so there is no way to explain the beginning other than, well, you see, sometime back millions of years ago, there was just this boom and something exploded and the universe is a result of that explosion. Now, what's interesting is I was reading the Big Bang Theory. They now have a new one called the Small Bang Theory. Oh, my goodness sakes. And instead of it being a Big Bang Theory now, where this explosion happened and basically the universe is a result of that initial Big Bang Theory, it got shot so full of holes, that theory did, that now it's a Small Bang Theory, which means that it happened on a molecular level. And so it wasn't like a supernova or you know, something gigantic. There was a microscopic explosion. Okay, now whether it's something big, the question is, whatever exploded, where did it come from? Whether it's molecules, where did they come from? Well, we don't know. And so, yes, you don't. And but I have a alternate theory. Here it is. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Okay, so God spoke the worlds into existence. We see in the Genesis account, God speaking into existence, the sun, the moon, the earth, the stars, the universe, everything that we see came as a result of God simply speaking. And it was so. Okay? Number five, they declare the biblical boundary of after their kind a lie and substitute it with the macroevolution theories. Now, what do you mean by that? Well, the Bible declares that as God created the birds and the creatures of the earth, living creatures, the waterfowl, the winged fowl, that every one of them that were created multiplied after their kind. So in other words, there was no what we would call macroevolution. What is macroevolution? Macroevolution is the evolution, large-scale change in organisms resulting in new species. So that's where one species evolves into a different species. According to Genesis, God created a species. And you know what? They only reproduced after their kind. And so there wasn't a creeping thing that became a walking thing. There wasn't a bird that became a fish or a fish that became a bird. There wasn't a monkey that became a man. Whatever was created and only reproduced after its kind. Now, is there changes within species? Absolutely. Absolutely. We don't argue that. And the Bible doesn't say that there wouldn't be. But the idea of one species becoming another, that's an important tenet in evolution. So in order to support that, there must be found links. These links, most of the time, are better referred to as missing links. Okay? I can't imagine how many missing links we have between species. Why don't we just believe the Bible? Okay? So God spoke and he created. He spoke and it was so. He spoke and created. Here's the Bible's very specific. Let the earth bring forth living creatures after his kind, cattle, creeping things, beast of the earth after his kind. It was so. God made the beast of the earth after his kind, the cattle after their kind, everything that creepeth upon the earth after his kind. God saw that it was good. And so God not only set it up this way, he said this is a good way to set it up. And so we do not have organisms evolving from one species to another, from one type to another. And yet evolution has to have that. So Darwin comes up with the theory of evolution. And he writes the book, Origin of Species. And in order to sell this idea to us, if you were to take a highlighter and read Darwin's book, Origin of Species, you would find, if you highlighted this phrase, let us assume, you will have highlighted that phrase over 800 times. And so in order to sell the theory of evolution, I have to make 800 intellectual jumps, 800 guesses, 800 ignoring of the fact that there are no facts, 800 assumptions to get from where you want us to begin to where you want us to end. Gentlemen and ladies, that is not science. That's, you know what? That's called a fairy tale. I mean, if I concocted a story and I begin to tell you this crazy story and all of a sudden I'm at a point where it seems like I'm at the end and I just say, let us assume that our hero grew wings. And then I go on with the story, and all of a sudden I get stuck in a spot. So let us assume that now our hero can fly and can go underneath the water. I mean, you know, if I had that liberty, I could concoct whatever story I wanted to make up. 800 times Darwin writes this phrase, let us assume, and yet it is embraced by the intellectual world. Why? Because we must have something. If we're going to maintain our unbelief, something, if we're going to be atheists, that will make us seem and sound intellectual, but will also cast doubt upon the Word of God. Okay? Darwin on the human eye, in the Origin of Species. In the Origin of Species, he wrote this. This is his, right out of the same book. In chapter number 6, Difficulties of the Theory, Origin of Extreme Perfection and Complication. Organs, he addresses this. Organs of extreme perfection and complication. To suppose that the eye with all its inimitable contrivances for for adjusting the focus to different distances, for admitting different amounts of light, and for the correction of spherical and chromatic aberrations, could have been formed by natural selection seems, I freely confess, absurd in the highest degree. He wrote that in his own book. But you have to understand, folks, if I read you the entire part, when they get to a place where they have something they cannot explain, what they do is they say, this seems absurd. And then they'll spend two paragraphs trying to get you to believe that on some level it's not absurd. And so he doesn't stop there. He still tries to propagate the idea. But first of all, when he comes to things that are unexplainable, he says, yeah, that's unexplainable and probably makes this whole thing sound absurd, but let's throw in a few more let us assumes and we'll just get past this. And so Albert Einstein was credited for saying this, evolution is a mathematical impossibility. And so anyone that wants to base their belief system on pure science and pure math, even modern scientists for the most part dismiss Darwin's theory of evolution in the way that he presented it. Number six, they declare the biblical truth of creation of the first man and woman a lie and instead substitute it with muddied water, mutations, and missing links. And one of course the big things if you study evolution is, preacher, how did one thing change from one species to another? Well, you've got millions and millions and millions of years, and what you have is there's a species and it develops a mutation. And the classic example is this, well, you know, how did a giraffe get a long neck? Well, they all used to have short necks. And then there was a chromosome mutation in one of the giraffes, and he was born with a little longer neck. And so he could reach the leaves that the shorter ones couldn't, and because of that, he survived when there was droughts, when the shorter necked ones couldn't reach the higher leaves. And so his genes remained in the pool, and therefore the neck got longer because his genes had more dominance. And that's how they explain. Of course, this again has to happen over millions and millions and millions and millions of years, where these different mutations. Now, so that's the explanation of where we got to where we got to. Yes, there is mutations that occur even this day in all species. And yet there is, watch this, there is not in the record of mankind one mutation that made any species better. It always made it worse. That's almost like to say this. If you were born with a deformity, if I could put it this way, that is going to be something that would advance our species. Because that's what a mutation is. It's a deformity of created by some type of damage in the chromosome system. Well, that doesn't advance civilization. But think about this. We're going to put all of our belief system on the argument of mutations advance a species. Very interesting. Okay, they champion their dangerous centerpiece belief of natural selection. And I want to tell you why this is dangerous. They champion their dangerous centerpiece belief of natural selection to defend their evolutionary teachings. What's natural selection? Well, in the example I just gave, natural selection means that the mutated giraffe with a longer neck was chosen to survive, selected to survive by nature, where the shorter necked ones were selected by nature to become extinct. Some species that were stronger were selected by nature to survive, and the weak ones were selected by nature to become extinct. Now, I want you to think about that. You are teaching this to impressionable young people. I want you all to hear me out. On April 20th, 1999, two boys at Columbine High School in Colorado massacred 12 fellow students and a teacher, wounding 23 as well before shooting themselves. When one of the assailants, Eric Harris, was autopsied, the medical examiner found that under his black trench coat, the boy had on a white T-shirt emblazoned with a peculiar slogan. The slogan was this, natural selection. It was reported, it was later little reported, little commented on, that on his website, Harris had written this, natural selection, capital letters, exclamation point, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Then something I can't read, filth. It's the best thing that ever happened to the earth. Getting rid of all the stupid, weak organisms, but hey, it's all natural. Yes. And again, in capital letters. In his mind, he was acting out what he had been taught in biology class. If you're stronger, you ought to survive. If you're weaker, you should die. And yet the Word of God teaches us that we're to support the weak. We're to comfort the feeble-minded. That's what the Bible says. That we shouldn't prey on the weak or eliminate the weak. Folks, listen to me. Natural selection is necessary for them to defend their theory. But what it's doing to our young people's mind is creating monsters. Now listen to me. Please hear me out. You say, preacher, every kid that's been taught evolution and biology has a kid. I understand that, but I want you to listen to me. Okay? If they walk into a typical public high school class, you know what, and I say high school, elementary class. They are taught that they are animals. They are just the latest model of a progression of animals. And then our educators get together and wring their hands and say, I don't know why kids are acting the way they are. They're acting out what you've taught them.
Yes, sir.
My Bible says this. God reached down from heaven, took the dust of the earth. Doesn't sound very scientific, does it? And formed the first body of man. Then my Bible says this. God's lips reached down and touched man's lips, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living soul. My Bible says this. God saw that it was not good that man should be alone, so he decided to make him a helpmeet. So he put Adam to sleep for millions and millions of years. No, he put Adam to sleep and removed a rib and made a woman and brought her unto him. You know what that's, you know what? This is teaching our young people. Guess what? You were created differently than the animals. You are not an animal. You were created in the image of God. You were created by God. You were given a living soul, something that no other animal has. You are different from animals. You are not, and that's what Christianity teaches. Evolution teaches this. You're an animal. And more, sorry, but it's being acted out. This isn't some extreme example. Come on. There's been animal activity at Shacamack High School. There's been animal activity at Linton High School. There's been animal activity. Hey, I went to public school for 10 years before I came over to Christian school. That's been a long time ago. They treat each other like animals, talk down at each other like animals, breed like animals. Breed like animals. Why not? That's what you taught them they are. Mommy, daddy, when you put them on the bus, that's what you sent them to learn. Okay? And so these things, I don't understand, preacher. How can somebody walk into a school and kill 20 young people? And by the way, good night. I hope I never can understand that. I will say this, there is evil there. Satan is at work in that person's life. I believe that. But we're seeing more and more. Listen, you can point at that one thing, but folks, come on. Look up here. Let me teach you something. There's more than 20 kids killed in 1 week in Chicago every week of your life. I worked inner city ministries. Okay? Come take a trip with me. Come spend a couple weeks with me. You know what you're going to... Listen, I watched it on my bus route, 4 blocks by 5 blocks. Bus route in Chicago. 5 weeks in a row, I walked to 5 different spots where children or teenagers were murdered. And some of the times when I arrived there, the chalk marks were still on the pavement. The blood stains were still... Listen, you know what? You know what we got? We're producing? Animals. Animals. It's a very dangerous thing. You see, when people say, I am not just going to accept by faith the truth, and this is truth, then what you're going to have to do in order to destroy that truth is you've got to come up with an alternative truth that is not the truth, it's a lie. And so this is the consequences of that. The dangerous centerpiece belief of natural selection is teaching our young people something so dangerous. The strong survive, the weak die. That's why we have crosses out here. the indefensible, too bad, that's on them. That's why the next big rush that you're going to see, wave you're going to see, is euthanasia. Older people, they can't defend themselves. They're weak. They need to go anyway. They're taking up resources that we need. We're strong. They're weak. The value of human life becomes nothing. Okay? I don't understand why we have bullying. We got to have seminars on bullying. We got to have anti-bullying campaigns. I'm telling you where it comes from. I'm telling you where it comes from. Okay? I'm strong. You're weak. Guess what, dude? Natural selection. If I can dominate you, I will. That's what nature's taught us. Okay? Number 8, they ignore the biblical teaching of sin and the salvation God offers for sin's cure, and instead champion the lie of situational ethics and no absolutes. This is getting into humanism, so we'll wait and tackle that next week. Let me say it for my 4th outline and in conclusion. My conclusionary outline, here it is. In the end, watch this, in the end, evolutionists fail in everything they have attempted to do. Instead of coming off as intellectuals, they are instead again and again found guilty of manipulating the facts of science to support their predetermined beliefs. Oh no, preacher, they just look at science and whatever science says, they determine what they believe by that. No, they have a belief system and then they go to science and they pick, cherry pick what works and what doesn't, they manipulate. And if you wanted to look at this, good night, there's websites full of this stuff. The hoaxes that have been exposed in evolution. Okay, literally, there's, and now they're at the point where they don't even try to defend this because the proof is there. Some of the things that are hoaxes that have been accepted by truth and are still in our books, they won't take out of the books, and they know they're hoaxes. Okay, if you had a biology book when I was in the public school system, what you saw somewhere in that book was drawings by Ernest Haeckel, and he used fraudulent material to promote evolution. What he did was he supposedly took a microscope and looked at the progression of the development of different types of embryo, bird, fish, mammal. And then what he did was show you that for a long time they are all similar. And yet it came out almost immediately that it wasn't accurate. It says here, books appear in all major languages and surely exerted more influence than the works of any other scientists, including Darwin, in convincing people throughout the world the validity of evolution. Haeckel had exaggerated the similarities by idealization and omissions. He also, in some cases, in a procedure that only can be called fraudulent, by the way, this is from the Natural History magazine, this is not a Christian publication, March 2000, he also, in some cases, in a procedure that can only be called fraudulent, simply copied the same figure over and over. Haeckel's drawings never fooled the expert embryologist who recognized his fudgings right from the start. And yet, you can still find these in books. Hey, if you don't have anything, you got to use what you got. Okay? All right. How about this? Evolutionists thought they had arrived at the discovery of a missing link in 1912 when Charles Dawson, not Charles Darwin, Charles Dawson, had found a part of a human skull and a jawbone in a gravel pit in Pittdown, England. Nevertheless, 40 years later, this hoax, by the way, lasted for 40 years. Scientists proved that the Piltdown man was not the intermediary fossil, but a modern human skull and a jawbone of a modern orangutan. Watch this. With the jaw being chemically treated to look as if it were a fossil and its teeth deliberately filed down to resemble human teeth. This was both manufactured, buried together, and discovered. Okay, and stood for 40 years. Dr. Harry Rimmer details the infamous Nebraska man hoax in his book, The Theory of Evolution and the Facts of Science. In 1922, Mr. Harold Cook discovered a fossil that was supposed to prove once and for all that evolution was factual, but it turned out that the single tooth. Now, I'm going to tell you something. I don't believe for one second, I'm just an old country boy, that you can take a tooth and decide that you know everything about that man from that tooth. Okay, that is insanity. Us old country people, we ain't all that smart. We're poor dummies. We didn't get, to go to your university, but excuse me, you cannot take a tooth and tell me how tall the man was, what he looked like. Now watch this. This Nebraska man that they invented from a tooth, they had pictures, and they still do, in books of drawings of the Nebraska man, his wife, and their children. From a tooth. Professing themselves to be, they become. Come on. Okay, if that's intellectualism, I don't want it. I'll just be a dumb country boy. But I'm smarter than that. Okay. Now watch this. That would have been, I guess, in itself amazing. But then it turned out that that single tooth he had found was not even human. It was from an extinct pig. In November 1999, National Geographic published an article, Feathers for T-Rex, detailing its discovery of Archaeoraptor, the missing link between birds and dinosaurs. In the issue, it appeared to be a large feathered bird with the tail of a dinosaur. However, closer examination by experts showed the specimen to be two fossils stuck together with strong glue. I don't know if that glue evolved with the animals, or if somebody's not being very forthcoming. Now, look up here, young people. I'm going to tell you this to save you a lot of time. The only way to prove a lie is to lie. Okay, if you got a lie to prove, then you're going to have to lie to prove it. And the problem with lies is that the truth is more powerful than lies. And, preacher, no, they just do all these experiments and they do all these archaeological digs and then they want our kids to believe them. A biology book that used to be in use in our area here talks about vestiges. Our bodies contain vestiges. What are vestiges? Basically leftovers from the evolutionary process. For instance, your gallbladder, we can't figure out what it's really for. Your spleen, we can't really figure it's for, so it must be something that was left over in the process. By the way, I had an atheistic doctor that took out my gallbladder. And he came into the room and he was diagramming what he was going to have to do and what my problem was. And I'd had some, I won't go into the whole story, but I had to have my gallbladder removed. And he was an unbeliever, and I think he knew I was a preacher, and he wanted to make the point. So he said, for people that believe in some supreme being, well, he sure screwed up here. That's what he said to me. And he said, there's absolutely no medical explanation for why this is here except to cause a man a problem. So if he's an all-knowing creator, why would he have created this? And he's pointing at the little picture and looks at me. And I said, the answer to that's very simple. Well, I'd like to hear it. I said, so that a Baptist preacher could get one that's infected and us two could come together so I could look you in the eye and say, except a man be born again, he cannot enter into the kingdom of heaven. God put this in here so that we'd have some medical problems from time to time because you know what? We need to rely on him more. God put this in here, sir, so me and you could have this conversation because I'm probably the only one that's been brave enough to tell you you need to get saved. Amen. You can scoff at the God of the Bible. You can scoff at the existence of God. But you know what? If you die in your sins, you'll lift up your eyes in hell being in torment. Amen. Then this guy stands over me 4 hours later with a knife. The fact that I'm here is the proof of the existence of an almighty God. He went... And then he went back to his explanation. I'm not intimidated by pseudo-intellectuals. Not intimidated at all by them. Well, you're just all right, well, fine. Okay, I'm dumb. You're brilliant. But I'm going to tell you something. This life's pretty short. And there's death comes to everybody. And you can proclaim and thump your bully pulpit and scream all you want to scream and laugh and mock. But you know what? God has the last laugh. Amen? Now, let me finish up if I can find out which outline is where. All right, here, I'm done. Instead of coming off as intellectuals, they instead again and again are found guilty of manipulating the facts of science to support their predetermined beliefs. Instead of destroying the notion of an uncorruptible God, they uncover the necessity of intelligent design. It's true. Let God be true and every man a liar. Number three, instead of destroying the truths of Genesis, they validate their accuracy. Listen to what I'm going to say. True, unbiased science supports the notion of a 6,000-year earth created with maturity, then temporarily destroyed by a universal flood. There's nothing that they have a problem with that could not be explained by those events. Nothing. Nothing. Well, it takes billions of years to make coal. Or God could have said, coal. But there's fossils in them. God could have said, coal with fossils. So that the unbelievers can hang themselves. Now, I believe that the coal and the result of all of that happened as a result of the flood. Yeah, that's what I believe. But I'm going to tell you this, might not have. God might have just said, coal. That's pretty simple belief. Yeah, amen. Amen, it really is. It takes a lot of pressure off. I don't have to spend the rest of my life trying to prove there's not a God. I can just worship Him and embrace Him and believe in Him. Makes life good. Instead of destroying the truth of Genesis, they validate their accuracy. Instead of destroying Christianity with the new religion of humanism, they have instead illustrated the truths of God's Word. Belief is by faith. But watch this. Unbelief is as much reliant upon faith as belief is as belief is dependent upon faith. In the end, every man must choose. You believe in the Word of God and what it teaches us about our Creator, about our sin, about Christ, about His finished work, about salvation, about heaven, hell, and eternity, or you choose to not believe them. It takes as much faith to believe in evolution, more faith, in my opinion, than it does to believe in an almighty God. And so when it comes right down to it, we both make a faith choice. Because you cannot prove the theory of evolution. You cannot prove it. You cannot prove it. There's too many gaps. There's too many problems. So if you say, I believe in evolution, you do so by faith. You do so because it fits your religion of humanism. I believe in the Bible. I believe in a creator. I believe the Genesis account. I believe that I'm a sinner. I believe God sent a Savior. I believe that He died on the cross, was buried, and 3 days rose from the dead. I believe the Bible says, whosoever calleth upon Him shall... For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I believe for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that whosoever believeth Him should not perish but have everlasting life. I'm a Bible believer. Pretty sure it doesn't seem very intellectual. Might not. But I'm a Bible believer. I don't know if it's... Say whatever you want to. That's what I believe. I believe the Bible from Genesis 1:1 all the way to Revelation 22 where God closes it out. Even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. I believe it all. And so some of these things may be of a help to you. Heavenly Father, so much material, honestly, to try to compress everything into a Sunday night message, Lord. This could be, honestly, series of things. But I'm doing what I feel like You want me to do here, and so we've given some information. Help us, Lord, not to have our faith shaken. Help us not to be intimidated. Help us just to, Lord, please You, by faith, please You. And I pray, God, that You would help our young people that face the onslaught of what I call pseudo-intellectuals, false, fake intellectuals, who, Lord, want to position themselves as being all-knowing, and yet the honest truth is, Lord, they don't have the facts to support what they say they believe. I pray that You'd help us just to, Lord, become, Lord, very simple in this regard, simple in our faith. Willing to open the Bible and just believe God at His Word. Thank You, Lord, that the heavens declare the glory of God. Thank You, Lord, that creation, it cries out. It cries out in testimony to the existence of a Creator. Lord, I pray that we'd take these things and we'd, Lord, please bind them to our hearts. We pray these things in Jesus' name.